You're listening to Trumpet Radio on 101.3 KPCG, online kpcg.fm, and live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And this is Trumpet Radio Live. Dwight Falk, Abraham Blondeau with you here, heading into the holiday weekend. Three-day weekend for most people, so people get quite excited about that, I guess. Kind of the official start of summer.
Right.
People kind of feel that way about it, and kids are off of school. And, the good times are here to stay. it's always nice to get into the summer months, and we've got quite a bit to talk about on today's program, some headlines to get to, as well as a preview of the Key of David program and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Some health news today to talk about. It's not good news. We heard on the headlines about the Zika virus, and there's more news about a superbug that has reached the U.S. It's concerning the doctors. We'll talk about that, but there's good news there, too, because we've got some good health information. Also, some things that have happened on this day in history, so we'll talk about that. Before we get into it, I was telling Abraham earlier about this interesting thing I observed yesterday with a mailman, and it's the worst possible thing, probably, as far as delivering packages that you could see. You know, with my own eyes, I saw this yesterday. I was running a couple of errands in town. And I was on this back road in the Edmond area, and there was a mailman delivering mail. That he carries the mail in the bag, and he's one of those that delivers it on foot. And he had a lot of stuff, a lot of packages, and he dropped two of them. They weren't letters, they were packages. He dropped them, and they fell as he was crossing the road. And then he just kicked the packages across the road like soccer balls. And then once he got to the sidewalk, he picked him up and put him back in his bag. So it was right in front of me because I was in my car kind of, you know, pulling up there. And I just thought, wow, I hope those aren't coming to my house. You're not supposed to kick packages, right?
Last time I checked, yeah, you're not supposed to. It's pretty funny. hopefully those weren't like Father's Day ceramic mugs going in the mail to someone or something like that.
World's greatest dad. He's in 1,000 pieces. Yeah, it was really funny. Not really funny, I guess, but sort of humorous because you always get packages and they have the tape on it that says fragile and handle with care. And I don't know if anyone really does that.
Right.
It's the same when you're traveling and they're loading your luggage onto the plane and you haven't gotten on the plane yet, so you're still looking out the window at it. And just launching these bags,
yep.
Like basketballs into a hoop. And you're thinking, wow, I'm glad I don't have anything fragile in there. Or, you know, if I do, you know, uh-oh. So
yeah.
Sometimes people don't take as much care with your items as maybe you would personally. But I've never seen a mailman kick packages across the road. It was a new thing.
Right. Yeah, I guess I think that's the kind of the running joke about the post office or like mail service that they... sometimes they treat packages like they're playing a tackle football or something like that, a full contact sport, but
or soccer in this
yes,
case.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully those things weren't damaged, but I guess I mean that's just the reality that we have to be careful with those kind of things.
Package them well.
Yeah.
When you're sending something that could break, think about the guy kicking it across the road and make sure that it can withstand that type of force.
Yeah.
If it can withstand that, it'll probably get there okay.
Bubble wrap isn't that expensive. So.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you're going to send something for Father's Day or whatever. So interesting. I thought I would share that little tidbit of information. Here's some of the things that have happened on this day in history. 1668 on this day, three colonists were expelled from Massachusetts for being Baptists. I don't think they do that anymore. I think you can stay.
Yeah, I think so. But as far as I know.
As far as we know. But back then, it's interesting because they had a lot of... there was one from yesterday that we didn't have time to get into, but somebody... there was a law that was made in one of those states that you couldn't be a Catholic priest. You got one chance to like stop, and if you did it again, then there was like a punishment. There's some interesting religious laws at that time.
Yeah, because there was usually in old time America, there was a dominating religious sect that was in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything was different, they usually, to a certain degree, they would stop it because they thought it was wrong or against a certain doctrine they thought was Right. So they were pretty stringent until it started to progress a little bit more. But yeah, they didn't fool around back then at all.
It's different. 1907, on this day, the bubonic plague broke out in San Francisco. Ties right into our health discussion today.
Right.
So not a good thing. 1937, on this day in California, the Golden Gate Bridge was opened to pedestrian traffic. And, of course, that iconic bridge out there that I think everybody is familiar with. It's funny, actually. Golden State Warriors, they're playing, of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. And, well, to this point they are. I mean, it could go either way here in just a day or two. But I was at the Thunder game on Tuesday, I guess it was, and Thunder won. We were leaving, and everyone's in the corridors, and they're all excited, and they're chanting and cheering, and people are high-fiving each other, and, you know, brought everyone together. And then some guy that was near me yells out, "Let's go beat them in Los Angeles." Golden State plays in San Francisco, so...
Right,
I don't know what he was thinking. He didn't know where they were from,
yeah.
I guess.
You can tell by the big gold logo of the Golden Gate Bridge on their jerseys.
The Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. Poor fella. He'll be in Los Angeles sometime looking around like, where's the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah.
Wrong spot.
He can go watch the San Jose Sharks play instead. So in San Jose.
Yeah. So he was exuberant. He was excited. He just had his geography a little bit off. People were okay. People were like, we get you. It was the right state. Right state, wrong area. So that was interesting. This is one that we're going to talk about a little bit more today. 1985, this is a big event. The UK started negotiating the handover of Hong Kong to China, a major seaport there that we've seen a lot of transitions with seaports. And if you're familiar with the United States and Britain and prophecy, a lot is written in there about how, you know, America would have the sea gates and Britain would have the sea gates. It's a big deal. Everything travels through those sea gates. And if you look at where the UK was and where the United States was in terms of having sea gates, we used to have about all of them, I think. And now if you look at it, they've been given back to other nations that are not as friendly towards the United States and Britain. And so this is a really interesting day in history.
Yeah, it's really, really significant for its symbolism. I mean, Hong Kong's a very symbolic symbol of, well, symbolic symbol, very symbolic representation of the British Empire.
And it is a symbolic symbol as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah. As that should be my catchphrase. Because it's such a huge economic powerhouse, that's its main value, especially after World War II, was its it became very economically prosperous because of its seaport. It's right next to South China Sea. A lot of the major trade into China would go through Hong Kong, so it became very prosperous. It's democratic, so it's not communist China like in China. So it's had a different path. But I think this brings up an interesting phenomenon that's occurring right now in government and geopolitics, and that's the reminder that sea power and choke points are important. Because for a long time, the United States had become complacent. Because since the Cold War ended, there wasn't really a huge threat in those regions for a while. I mean, American power was so dominant that nothing else really seemed that significant. During the Cold War, there were some instances where they had to struggle over these strategic areas. But for the most part, I mean, things were pretty tranquil. There's the Gulf War and some other smaller skirmishes, but with the focus on terrorism and other problems, it really took the United States' view away from these really important areas, and Britain too. I mean, Britain declined. They did not have the military or economic power to retain most of its holdings overseas. So I think this is a very significant date because Hong Kong was one of the last vestiges of the old British Empire, and it's gone. Now there's only Gibraltar and the Falklands left, and those are being called into question more and more, especially with Spain, an EU member, right next to Gibraltar, and then the Falklands pretty much claiming... Argentina, claiming the Falkland Islands. So those things will probably fall relatively soon, I would imagine. So anyway, this studying this history is a good reminder of how important these things are. And now that China is challenging it, the United States is on their heels because they've neglected and become so complacent in their world strategy.
And this ties into a really important article that's at thetrumpet.com that you can find today. It's from Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury. The title is, China is Steering the World Toward War. It says, satellite imagery shows China taking over the South China Sea, as it is with other trade routes globally. Both history and biblical prophecy show why this is extremely dangerous. So it's a really good write-up, and there's some great maps there that kind of put this picture into your head. It's always good to look at a map and understand exactly where these locations are and see why they're strategic, because we can hear that the South China Sea is strategic, but without looking at a map, unless you just have it all in your head because you're really good at geography, it's not maybe as apparent. But when you look at some of these maps, you can see exactly why. Oh, yeah, this is important because everything flows through these sea gates. And I don't know what the thinking is currently in the U.S. And in Britain, if they just think it doesn't matter anymore or we've advanced beyond that type of thing. But what do you do if you can't get goods into your nation? We're not self-sufficient. We don't, just go to Walmart and look at where everything's made.
Right.
It's mostly coming from China and some of these other places. So what would we do if we couldn't get trade into the country? You'd be choked off. It would be an economic siege of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main danger here is historically, actually, it's been proven that if you have a huge navy, if you control these important places, you can starve a nation to surrender. World War One, Britain did that to Germany. That was a key part of the British victory. And then also, Napoleon tried to have an economic siege of Britain, the continental system. But Britain controlled the choke point, so it didn't matter because Britain controlled all the trade going to Europe. They could do the same thing back to Napoleon. So there's a history of this strategy of trying to defeat a world power by trying to block off their trade and choke them out. Germany almost did it twice in World War One, World War Two, the U-boats. So this is really interesting because just how much is neglected. It's almost relegated to the side when it's almost such an obvious thing that it should be a really huge danger in the eyes of the leaders. But I think just weakness and belief that some of these nations will cooperate with us is really what's dragging us down.
Yeah, really interesting. It's a really important article. You can read that at thetrumpet.com. Also, check out the Key of David program coming up here in a little bit, which talks about Become You Perfect, and the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Some really good analysis on what the president said over there in Hiroshima on his much-anticipated speech that he gave over there. So make sure you listen for that. And all throughout the weekend, make sure you stay with us here on KPCG.FM, over the air 101.3 here in the Edmond, Oklahoma City area. And you can also listen via the live link at thetrumpet.com. And make sure you listen for the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program as well. That comes up throughout the weekend. Trumpet writers talk about some of the big events of the week and give you some really good in-depth analysis on those events. The Trumpet Hour Week in Review program coming up as well. Thanks for joining us today and this week on Trumpet Radio Live. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Abraham Blondeau, have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next week.